The special favor of Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله ما شاء الله viewers of Money Child welcome to our special program yesterday, today and tomorrow and in this series of programs we look into the rich heritage that the Muslims have. Yes, we have a rich heritage, and this is something that we need to understand, that we have a very, very rich heritage. We look at the lives of our pious predecessors, we look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Today, inshallah, something a little bit about the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that when people who maintain love for one another for the sake of Allah azza wa jal meet, shake hands with each other and recite salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the past and future sins are forgiven before they separate. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So when people who maintain love for one another for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, they meet, they shake hands with each other and they recite salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the past and future sins are forgiven. Viewers, inshallah, I've said it many times before, but please make time to recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make it part of your daily routine, whether you're traveling, coming, going. You know, multitask and recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers, inshallah, today what I want to talk about is the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. And if we can understand his status, his maqam, his authority, then we can realize that, look, this person that we are told to love is part of our iman. There's a reason why, because he has this great authority. He has this great authority, and because of that great authority, you know, this is why loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. And just to take example, the blessing of Durood-e Pak that I gave you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, when two people meet, they meet for the sake of Allah, they shake hands, and then they recite salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the past and future sins are forgiven. Now, who is forgiving those sins? Who is going to forgive the past and future sins? Allah azza wa jal. Allah azza wa jal is the one that is forgiving those sins. And why is he forgiving those sins? Because they read salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who is telling us that the past and future sins will be forgiven? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He has the authority. He has the authority to state that when someone recites Durood e Pak upon me, the past and future sins will be forgiven. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, he has the authority to say that if a person recites Durood e Pak upon me with love and devotion 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night, then it will be incumbent upon Allah azza wa jal to forgive all the sins that he committed during the day and all the sins that he committed during the night. In another narration, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if a person recites Durood e Pak upon me 1,000 times, then Allah azza wa jal will not allow that person to die until he has seen his place in paradise. Now, if you look at these, each and every one of them, and there are many, many more, each and every one of us are telling us that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this authority. Has this authority, you know, like for example, if I say, oh, you know, if someone was to do something to me, then the cameraman, the technical team that they had, they will make them a cup of tea. I don't have that authority. I don't have that authority to say that someone will do something to me. I don't have that authority. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this authority. And he had the authority to state that Allah azza wa jal will forgive your sins. He had the authority to state that Allah azza wa jal will allow you to see your place in paradise. Allah azza wa jal will forgive you past and future. This is the authority that he had. And we need to understand this. And when you understand the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, then inshallah you come to realize how fortunate we are as Muslims. That this is the person.
This is our ideal role model. This is the person that we need to aspire to. This is the person that we need to follow. This is the person that we need to respect. This is the person that we need to love. This is the person that we need to love to increase our iman. So it's incumbent upon us to develop that love. If we look at certain things that we are told in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and things that are going to happen, from that we see the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has had. It is stated that on the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Judgment, when people were running here and there looking for someone to intercede for them, they will go to Sayyidina Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and ask him to intercede for them. And he will say that I am not for this. Go to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the friend of Allah. He is the Khalil of Allah. And when the people will go to him and gather by him, he will then say that I am not here for this. Go to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the one that has spoken to Allah. Go to him. And when they go to him, and he will also say that I am not for this. Go to Ruhullah, you go to Sayyidina Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will say that I am not for this. Go to the beloved of Allah. Go to the beloved of Allah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he will intercede for you. And then people will come and they will come to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he will be the one that will intercede for us on the Day of Judgment. He has this authority. He has this status. He has this maqam. And if you think about it, viewers of Munshab, the whole events that take place on the Day of Judgment, they're all set up to show us the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. Out of all the prophets, he will be the one that will intercede for us. It is stated that thrones will be lined up, and all the prophets will be sitting on the thrones, and there'll be one throne empty. And it'll be the throne of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he will be running around saving us, saving his ummah. Allahu Akbar. And he also said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all of the prophets were given one dua that they could make that would definitely be answered. They all made the duas. I saved my dua for the Day of Judgment. Why? Because I want my dua to be for my ummah. This is the status, this is the maqam that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. He will be the one that will intercede for us on that day. He will be the one that will save us on that day. This is the status that we need to have, and we need to look at his life. And when you understand the status that he had, when you understand the authority that he had, when you understand the position that he had, then inshallah you can develop that love inside you. And if you look at the life of the companions, then the companions, what they would do is, they would compete with each other. They would compete with each other, not in the way that me and you compete. How do we compete? We compete getting bigger cars, bigger houses, bigger bank balances, whatever it is. They would compete in pleasing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was their competition. That was how they competed with him. And this is why they all joined in this competition in pleasing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were considered themselves successful if they pleased the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is something that we need to realize. But we are also told, viewers of the channel, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I know we're going to go slightly off topic, but I think it's very important. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you perform good deeds, I will praise Allah. If you perform bad deeds, I will do dua to Allah. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of our deeds. And the pious predecessors have also said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of a state of our heart as well. Allahu Akbar. And so if he is aware of our deeds, and the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to compete in performing good deeds so they could please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look at ourselves, what are we doing to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We are told that salah is the coolest at the eyes of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we perform our salah? And because we don't, then do you think that is making the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy? Do you think that when we don't fast in the month of Ramadan, when we don't pay our zakat that is due, when we don't go on the hajj that is farz upon us, when we lie, cheat, backbite, swear, commit adultery, drink alcohol, commit all sorts of sins, do you think these things make the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happy? No, they don't. Without a doubt, they don't. So where are we in this competition? In the competition of pleasing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because this is the status that the companions had, that they competed with each other to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was their competition. And this, again, through this, we understand the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And from this we understand that we need to understand his status. And only when we understand the status of the Prophet of Allah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then inshallah we can realize who our Prophet is and what status he has and how we should love him. And we're told that on that day, on the day of judgment, when we're told that the land, the floor will be like copper, and it'll be scorching copper ground, and a person will run from family to family, and nobody will be there to intercede for you, except the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only he. But then think to yourself, if Allah azza wa jal willed, did he need the day of judgment? If Allah azza wa jal, he could have said, heaven, hell, and that would have been, sentence could have been passed. Everybody could have been sentenced passed. But we are told about the events that take place on the day of judgment, so that we can understand the status and the maqam that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. We're told about Abi Qasim, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be quenching the thirst of his ummah. He will be quenching their thirst. He will be running around saving them. Why are we told this? So that we can understand this is the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. So all of these events that are going to take place, we have been informed about them so that we can know. You know, think about it. Why were we told about the events of the Day of Judgment? Because it's going to happen, and when it happens, it's going to happen. We were told that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. And all of the prophets were mentioned that the people went to. Why? So that we can understand the status and the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. Whilst we are in this dunya, we can understand the status. Otherwise, on that day, we could have gone to Sayyidina Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and we will go to him and ask him, Ya Sayyidi, please intercede for him, and he won't. And we'll go to all the prophets. And then we'll get to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it will happen as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. But if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not told it, it still would have happened. But he told us. He made us aware of the events on that day so that we can understand the status and the maqam of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers and listeners, we're going to take a small break now. We've got a package for you, inshallah. When we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the first package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sayyidina Allama Abbas al-Malik rahimahullah said that I was present in a mawlid gathering at Bayt al-Muqaddas. Now this happened on the night of the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal. I saw that an elderly person was present in that gathering. He remained standing from the beginning till the end. Now when someone asked him the reason for standing throughout the whole gathering, he replied, I used to consider standing in respect whilst listening to the praise of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a very bad innovation. One day, I dreamt that I was present in a very large gathering and people were standing to welcome the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, everyone welcomed him with great reverence and respect. However, I did not stand up. When I awoke, I saw that I was still sitting down. In this distress, a whole year passed, but I could not stand up. At the end, I made a vow that if Allah Almighty grants me cures from this illness, then I will stand in the gatherings of Mawlid al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from beginning to the end. With the blessings of this vow, Allah Almighty cured me and granted me health. So it has now become my practice in fulfilling this vow that I remain standing throughout the whole Mawlid gathering from the beginning till the end. Dear viewers of Madani channel, just standing in the respect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grants us so many good deeds. And we should all stand up and respect the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madri channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. When we talk about learning from yesterday, learning from our pious predecessors, learning from the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them, they all learned from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is our supreme role model. He is the authority that we look towards. And from among the status, the rank that has been granted to the leader of all the prophets, the master of all the messengers, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is openly clear for all the Muslims. His prestige, his eminence are not hidden by any means, as he is the best of creation. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, He says in the Quran, So, O dear Prophet, by oath of your Lord, they will not be Muslims until they appoint you a judge for the disputes between them. And then whatever you have decided, they should not find opposition to within their hearts, and they must accept it wholeheartedly. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, accept whatever the noble Rasul gives you and refrain from whatever he forbids you. A direct command from Allah Azza wa Jalla that this personality, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever he gives you, take it. Whatever he stops you from doing, stop it doing it. And in verse 36 of Al-Azab, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and no Muslim man or woman has any right in the affair when Allah Azza wa Jalla and his noble Rasul have decreed a command regarding it. Allahu Akbar. These are direct commands in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, and reframe what the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you. Whatever the noble Rasul gives you, take it. Whatever he forbids you from, stop doing it. That he's given this authority. And we see it in many, many instances. When his daughter was married to Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who is the daughter of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, when she was married, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that whilst my daughter is alive, you shall not marry anybody else. Allahu Akbar. Two things come to mind here. Number one, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that his daughter would pass away before Sayyidina Hazrat Ali, because he said this, whilst my daughter is alive, you cannot marry anybody else. And then secondly, the authority that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, could Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala not say, Ya Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the Quran it says that we are allowed four wives, everybody's got four, three, four, two, why are you stopping me? No, he did not. Why? Because he realized that whatever the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stops them from, they stop. Whatever the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promotes them to do, they do. He has the authority. He has the authority. And this is where we need to understand the maqam that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. We look at other things in the life of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We take the example of the Hajj. As we know, views of the Hajj is farz upon us. Hajj is farz upon us once in our lifetime. And when the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Hajj obligatory upon us, he said, Allah has certainly made Hajj obligatory upon you, so perform it. It stated that a companion, Akra bin Habis, radiallahu ta'ala, said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala, is it obligatory to perform Hajj every year? And he presented the same question three times. But the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala, remained silent throughout. After remaining silent and letting the companion finish asking, he replied by saying, If I had said yes, performing Hajj every year would have become obligatory upon you. Allahu Akbar. You know, the first time I heard that hadith, a scholar told me, I can still remember him telling me this. And he said to me, better just think that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew. You know, at that time the Ummah was small. At that time the locality of the Ummah was there, they were near. For them every year to perform Hajj would have not been a huge problem. Now look at where the Ummah is, 1.7 billion Muslims around the world. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew how big his Ummah would be. He knew how difficult it would be to perform the Hajj every year, but he also said, if I had said yes, that it would become obligatory upon you. And just think what would have happened if the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said yes, and every year we would have had to perform the Hajj. How difficult would that have been? It's through the mercy and blessings of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we don't have to. And this is something that we need to understand. We need to understand that this is the authority that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. If we look at it, if we look at other things, he said that if I had not considered it difficult for my ummah, I surely would have ordered them to delay Isha Salah until one third of the night has passed. He said that if it wasn't difficult for my ummah, I would have made you read your Isha Salah later. Here in the UK, in the summer months, Isha is quite late, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and we find it hard to read Isha quite late, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. You know, people read the Isha, and then the Sehri comes in quite early. But if it had been throughout the middle of the night, throughout the third of the night had passed, Allahu Akbar, then how late would that have been? But the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if I had not considered it difficult for my ummah, I would have ordered them to delay Isha Salah until one third of the night had passed. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if not for the elderly's weakness, an illness of the unwell, I would have delayed Isha Salah until midnight if it was not for difficulty for the elderly. Meaning that he had the authority to do this. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted, he could have changed the timing of Isha Salah entirely. Had he wanted, he could have made it impermissible to offer Isha Salah before one third of the night or half of the night had passed. However, our merciful Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not do this, as he always sought ease and comfort for his ummah. Allahu Akbar. It is also narrated, viewers of the channel, that when Makkah Sharif was conquered, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially he forbade the cutting of any grass inside the Haram boundaries. In a display of his total authority and upon the request of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, he allowed either khir grass to be cut as a need arose for the companions in relation to this. In other words, the cutting of this grass was made halal and permissible due to the Prophet making it so. It is stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has indeed made Makkah a sanctified sacred place. Its grass shall not be uprooted, nor the trees here cut, as all these acts are haram and prohibited in the Haram Sharif. Upon this, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala then humbly asked, kindly make either khir permissible for us, goldsmiths and the roofs of our homes, as it comes in great use for us. In response, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam consented and he said, you are permitted to utilize the khir grass. Now think about that. Having clearly heard from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that cutting grass of this is impermissible, a renowned companion like Abbas radiallahu anhu, he came and he requested the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he knew he had the authority to do this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, this is haram to do this. It is haram to do this. And a companion said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please make it permissible for us. The companions knew. Yes, the companions knew that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this authority. The companions knew that they could go to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and request him, that Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please make this permissible for us. And they knew he had the authority to do this. And upon the request, he made it permissible for them. So the two things we realize here. One, that the companions listened to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions knew that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the authority. They knew that what was impermissible, if they asked the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make it permissible, he could make it permissible. And so they came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You only go and ask somebody. You know, if you're going to go and ask for someone to help you, you will only go and ask someone that can help you. If you know that this person can't help you, if you know that this person can't do anything, then you're not going to go and ask him. But the companions, they knew that if they went to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have made this impermissible. You have made it haram for us. But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be beneficial for us if you make this permissible. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go. It is permissible for you to do this. Allahu Akbar. You know, these little things, these events, like I said, these things have been recorded and maintained and brought down to us so that we can understand the status and the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We've got a kalam of the day, inshallah. After we come back from the kalam of the day, then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla will continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Mangne ka shuur dete hain, jo bhi mango, huzoor dete hain. Humne aazi, kisi se kyun mange? Humko sab kuch huzoor dete hain. مانگنے کا مزا آج کی رات ہے مانگنے کا مزا آج کی رات ہے آج کی رات ہے آج کی رات ہے نوری محفل پہ چادر تنی نور کی نور پھیلا ہوا آج کی رات ہے چاندنی میں ڈوبے ہوئے دو جہاں کون جلوانما آج کی رات ہے پھر یہ آئے گی شب کس کو معلوم ہے ہم پہ لطف خدا آج کی رات ہے
نوری محفل پہ چادر تنی نور کی نور پھیلا ہوا آج کی رات ہے چاندنی میں ڈوبے ہوئے دو جہاں کون جلوانما آج کی رات ہے
وقت لائے خدا سب مدینے چلے لوٹنے رحمتوں کے خزینے چلے وقت لائے خدا سب مدینے چلے لوٹنے رحمتوں کے خزینے چلے سب کی منزل کی جانب سفینے چلے میری سائن دعا آج کی رات ہے
نوری محفل پہ چادر تنی نور کی نور پھیلا ہوا آج کی رات ہے چاندنی میں ڈوبے ہوئے دو جہاں کون جلوانما آج کی رات ہے
کون جلوانما آج کی رات ہے باب رحمت کھلا آج کی رات ہے مانگنے کا مزا آج کی رات ہے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ ویورز آف مدر چینل یو واچنگ Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And in these programs, we delve into the past, into our rich heritage, to learn from yesterday so that we can make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. And today, we're delving into the best of yesterday's. Yes, the life of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to understand his status, to understand his authority that he had. Now, as you know, if you're on the channel, that every Muslim will know that namaz is fard upon us 5 times a day. And whoever misses one salah, he commits a major sin. And it's stated that by missing one salah, he is worthy of the punishment of the hellfire. And if you deny the obligation of salah, then it is an act of disbelief. So you can understand how important salah is. And highlighting the importance of salah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are five obligatory salah across the day and the night. And you're wondering, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because from this, and I'm going to give you an example, we understand the importance of reading our namaz 5 times a day. We understand that it's obligatory to read our namaz 5 times a day. We understand that by missing one salah, we are worthy of punishment. We're worthy of the hellfire by missing one salah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you miss one salah on purpose, your name will be written on the door of the hellfire. But now, to understand the authority of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to him, that give me permission to miss 3 of them. Give me permission to miss 3 of them. Now nobody, no scholar in the world, no mufti in the world, no scholar in the right mind, no mufti in the right mind would ever give anybody permission to miss a single salah. But this person, he came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me permission to miss 3 salah every day. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to this. Read the Quran. In the Quran, so many places we are told to offer our salah on a regular basis. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many times he has told us to read our salah 5 times a day. When he gave permission to this person, you know, like in any environment, if for example that, you know, the hours of work are 9 to 5, let's say the hours of work are 9 to 5, everybody works 9 to 5, and somebody goes to the boss and he says, you know what, you know, can I just work 2 hours a day, can I just work 3 hours a day? And the boss says, yeah, no problem, and you'll, you know, you'll get the full pay. And he just works 9 to 12. Now what will happen as a result of that, a ripple will create in the work environment, a ripple will create. Well, everyone will say, well, he's only working 9 to 12, let me work 9 to 12. He's only working 9, let me work 9. And everybody will say, well, if he can get away with it, why can't we get away with it? But when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, number one, when he did it, he had that authority to do it and nobody questioned it. Nobody said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you've told us 5 is obligatory. You've told us if we miss one, then our name is written on the hellfire. You've told us how important it is to read our salah. You've told us that if we miss our salah, we're worthy of punishment, we're worthy of the hellfire. And you're letting him to read too? No. Nobody said that. Nobody said that. And not only did nobody say that, but when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him permission, nobody said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, today, you know, you're giving everybody permission. Can we only read 2 as well? You know? Can we read 2 as well? No. Nobody said that. That is the amazing thing, that everybody understood that this is the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he gives a certain individual the permission to do this, there is hikmah behind it, there is wisdom behind it. And the person, when he came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that, I will accept Islam if you allow me to pray twice a day. And like I said, if anybody comes to any of us now, if anybody comes to any scholar, to any mufti, and said, I want to accept Islam, but I only want to read my namaz once a week, I only want to read my namaz once a day, I only want to read my namaz twice a day, nobody would say, no, that's okay, come on, Ajo. Nobody would say it. And there are people, that foolish people, that will try and convince people, oh, you know, start with one, start with two, start with, no. Obligatory is 5. Full stop. There is no flexibility in that. There is no 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, 5 is 5 is 5. Halas, finished. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he realized and he said, yes, if you accept Islam, you only have to read 2. Allahu Akbar. This again shows the authority that he had. That he had this. And another incident, I'll give you another incident that happened. It is stated that a person came and lamented, and he said, oh Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've been destroyed. And he said that I had relationships with my wife during the fast of Ramadan. To have a marital relationship whilst you're fasting is not permitted. And he said, I did this. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, that can you free a slave? And he said, no, I can't. Then he said to him, can you fast consecutively for 2 months? And the man said, no, I can't. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, can you feed 64 people? And yet again he said, no. Dates were then brought into the presence of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to this person, give these dates in charity. Give these dates in charity. And the man humbly said, shall I give them in charity to someone in greater need than us? There is no family needier than mine in the whole of Medina. Allahu Akbar. So can I give it to someone needy? And there is no one more needy than me and my family. Hearing this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled to the extent until his blessed molar teeth became visible. And he said, feed these dates to your family. Allahu Akbar. So he came. He'd committed a sin. He'd made a mistake. He committed a sin. And what he needed to do to expiate that sin, he needed to free a slave. He couldn't do it. He needed to fast for 2 months. He couldn't do it. He needed to feed 60 people. He couldn't do it. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought him and gave him dates, and he said, give them to people that are needy. Give them to people that are needy. And the person said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm needy. Me and my family are needy. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he said to him that, look, give them to your family, feed your family. Allah, feed your family and consider this and as an expiation for your sins. So in this particular case, that penalty The penalty that he had to withstand became a reward for him. And he went to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi gave him options. Can you do this? No. Can you do this? No. Can you do this? And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself brought dates and gave them to him. This shows the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that he could do this. Allahu Akbar. And then he came to him and said, "You feed them to your family." Allahu Akbar. Viewers of my channel, we've got one package now before the end of the program. Let's go to this final package of the day, and then inshallah when we come back, we'll try and wrap up this topic. Let's go to this final package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Respected viewers of Madani Chain, Sadrul Afazil, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Murad Abadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh writes under the ayah Fadhkuruni Azkurkum. He writes in Tafsir Khazainul Irfan that dhikr is of three kinds. One is lisani, a dhikr which is performed or done through one tongue. And the second kind is qalbi, meaning a dhikr which is performed or done through one's heart. And the third kind, which he mentions in his Tafsir Khazainul Irfan, is bil jabarih, meaning through one's body parts or physically. Dhikr lisani, this includes tasbih, taqdis, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing hamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning tasbih and sana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which also includes asking for forgiveness, repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through tongue, or making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are forms of dhikr which are under the definition of lisani dhikr, dhikr through a tongue. And the second kind is dhikr qalbi, and that is the kind of dhikr which is done through one's heart, which includes remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering the azmat and kibriyai of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted status of Rabb ta'ala azza wa jal, and then pondering, reflecting upon the dalail and reasons and the proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this includes under the definition of dhikr qalbi. As far as dhikr bil-jawarih is concerned, it is that form of dhikr where one's body parts and physical worship is just like hajj, going towards hajj. This is under dhikr bil-jawarih. Whereas salah is such a beautiful form of ibadah which includes all these forms, subhanallah, tasbih, takbir, sana, qiraat. All these are forms of dhikr lisani which are done in salah. And khushu and khudu, focus and concentration within salah, subhanallah, ikhlas, sincerity, that is also something related with one's heart. It is also part of salah. Whereas qiyam, ruku and sujood are forms of dhikr bil jawarih. So respected viewers of Madani Channel, we should try to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all different kinds. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our tongue. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our heart. And we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our body too. Inshallah, we will get blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salvation. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we are talking about the authority, the status that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has. And I want to relate another event to you that shows the authority that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has. But there's an ayat of the Quran in which Allah azza wa jal says in Surah Baqarah, verse 282, "And appoint two witnesses from amongst your men." That whenever something happens, you need two witnesses. And the testimony of a single man alone is not enough as per Shariat. And this command is universally binding upon every Muslims. But with the will of Allah, because of the way that Sayyidina Hazrat Khuzama radiallahu ta'ala pleased the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exempted Khuzama radiallahu ta'ala from this general law. He went on to make the testimony of this one companion equivalent to two people. And he beautifully declared, he said, "Whoever Husama testifies for or against, his testimony alone is sufficient. The Quran is telling us that two. The Quran is telling us that two are needed. But here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that when it comes to Husama, his testimony for or against, his testimony alone is sufficient. Allahu Akbar. This again, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given the status. In another event that took place, we are told, viewers of Malaysia, that when a woman husband dies and she is not pregnant, her iddah, i.e. the waiting period, amounts to 4 months and 10 days. And this is explained in the verse of the Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, Surah Al-Baqarah verse 234, and those among you who die leaving wives behind them, then such widows shall restrain themselves for 4 months and 10 days. The expert in Islamic law, Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi, he elaborates this verse. He says that a pregnant woman's iddah ends with the delivery of her child, as mentioned in Surah Talaq. This verse refers to a non-pregnant woman whose husband dies. Her respective iddah is 4 months and 10 days. In this time, she cannot marry, she cannot leave her house, she cannot apply oil without a valid reason, she cannot apply fragrance, adorn herself, wear colorful or silk clothes, apply henna, nor discuss anything openly about a new marriage. In light of this verse and its commentary, if the husband of a non-pregnant woman dies, her iddah is 4 months and 10 days. Now let's see another great display of authority of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he reduced the iddah of Lady Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha to only 3 days. To only 3 days. She explained herself. She said that when her first husband Jafar Tayyar radiallahu anha passed away, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, refrain from adorning yourself for 3 days, then do as you please. Refrain from adorning yourself for 3 days, i.e. your iddah is only 3 days. After that, do as you please. After narrating this hadith, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated, normally a woman must mourn for her husband for 4 months and 10 days. In this scenario, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exempted her from the general ruling of this manner. He reduced it to 3 days. Didn't know what somebody could have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran is telling us, the Quran is telling us 4 months of 10 days, and yet you reduced it to 3 days for her. Why? Nobody questioned, because they realized that this is the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And so viewers of the channel, we need to understand this, that this maqam that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, he had the authority to make things forbidden. He had the authority to make things permissible. And Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, as we said earlier, that whatever he has made forbidden, you are forbidden for it. Whatever he's made permissible, it is permissible for you. And so these are the things that we need to understand. We need to develop that love inside us for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and understand his status, understand his maqam, understand the authority that he had. Because we are told many, many times, viewers of Muslim, to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. You know, and nobody can say that, you know, I don't need that love nurturing. You know, no matter how beautiful a fruit tree is, no matter how beautiful a flower tree is, if you stop giving it water, if you stop giving it that nutrient that it needs, it dies. So we need to keep on filling that love inside us, filling that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously all our lives. And loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not something that you just do for one night, for one day, for 1 week, for 1 month, for a couple of events. No, it's something that we need to do all our lives. And if we look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we look at how they lived their lives. Had they sacrificed their time? Had they sacrificed their lives? Had they sacrificed their money? Had they sacrificed their family? Had they sacrificed everything that they had? Why? To please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he brought everything that he had and he presented it at the feet of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was asked, what have you left for your family? What have you left for your family when you brought everything? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have I brought. And for my family, I've left Allah and His Rasul. And that is enough. That is enough. This is the mindset that they had. That as long as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy with them, as long as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleased with them, then that's all they needed in the world. That was their goal. That was their goal. The goal in life was to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they knew if we please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are pleasing Allah azza wa jal. If we're pleasing Allah azza wa jal, then inshallah Allah azza wa jal will achieve the ultimate goal. Allahu Akbar.
And we need to develop that. When you go to these gatherings and you are told of events that took place during the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask yourself a question. That why was this event recorded? Why has it been passed down through generation to generation for 1400 years? Why am I hearing this today? And the reason why these events have been passed down from generation to generation for 1400 years is so that we can learn something from it. All of these events where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed someone to only pray twice, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reduced the iddat on someone, when in another case the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to someone, he said, I cannot give up adultery, I cannot give up alcohol, I cannot give up lying. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give up lying then, just give up lying. And he gave up lying. And again, you know, you would have said that he should have stopped him from committing adultery, stopped him from drinking alcohol, but no. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his wisdom stopped him from doing that. And as a result of that, because then he realized, if I commit adultery and I'm asked, how can I not lie? Because I promised I won't lie. If I drink alcohol and I must, how can I not lie? So out of embarrassment, he gave up adultery, he gave up alcohol. But this is the wisdom that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that he had the authority. Me and you don't have that. So we need to understand the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. So viewers of the channel, please nurture that love that you have for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Develop that love that you have for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah.